All right. Well, guys, thank you. Thank you so much for being a part of that. We'll let you come by and take a look at that. I'm sure Country wouldn't mind letting you take a look, but don't look too much. Don't grab it and take off there. All right. Guys, let's open back with a word of prayer and just focus on time in the Word real quick. I believe God's not finished speaking on what He wants us to hear today. So let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this day again. Just thank You. I stand back with grateful heart and God, I just thank You for the story that Country has lived, continues to live every day. As our brother Scotty, the chaplain, said at the end of just knowing that his strength comes from Christ. And Father, I want You to know that's been an example for me. And so we thank You for that. We thank You for stories. We thank You for speaking through these stories to our heart and to our lives. And God, that You continue to speak. We love You, we thank You, and ask that You meet with us some more this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you guys know, and Country would tell you, this day is more than just about him, but I want to just mention something in case you didn't hear it. As you watch this video, as you listen to it, isn't that so cool, right? That these Alabama players that you cheer on, honestly, man, are cheering for you and proud of you. But I thought this was so cool that as we listen to these Bama players and some of the staff, almost to a man, each and every person said, "Gary, we've heard your story." If you think about it, I want you guys to go back later and watch that. Almost to a man, every one of them said, "Gary, we've heard your story." I want to speak to you this morning on this idea that stories matter. Everyone has a story. In fact, everyone in this circle, your story may not be known by Alabama football players as our star Gary this morning, but you have a story. I know one person that knows your story. The good and the bad, the triumphs, the defeats, every bit of our story, right? The victories and defeats, and yet He still loves us and still cares for us as no one else can or no one else will. There's always room at the table for Him, no matter what story you bring. Amen? Everybody has a story, and every story matters. See, I believe this, that story is the language of our hearts. And in fact, we are involved in one gigantic, epic story. From the very beginning pages of our Bible, we were created in perfection. We were created to live in Eden in this perfect relationship with our Creator God. A relationship where we would have afternoon walks in the cool part of the afternoon. That He knows us by name, we know Him, and there are conversations that happen. And then sin enters the picture and we live in a broken world where there is sickness, where there is hurt, where there is sin. But it's all coming to a culmination. It's all coming to a place where He makes everything right. And Revelation 21 tells us that He's making all things new, that heaven comes down and there will be Eden again. We will spend this time with one another as family. We will spend this time, but all of this going back to original Eden, except this time there will be no sin in the garden. It's going to be perfect. It's going to be perfection. All of this is what we are living in. We are living in an epic story. You see, story is the language of the heart. Jesus taught in stories. If you read the Gospels, most of the time when Jesus taught, He is with a group of followers. By the way, let's paint it like this, a group of ragtag followers, fishermen, tax collectors, those that weren't really liked, weren't really valued. And Jesus even entering people into His story of like, let the little children come to me. The ones you say have no value, let them come to me. The prostitutes who were caught in the middle of adultery, the ones who were lepers who had to yell unclean, unclean as they came through the city. And Jesus would come to them and say, not only am I going to notice you, not only am I going to see you, but I'm going to touch you and I'm going to heal you. This is the Jesus that we know. But as He would gather those people around, here's what He would say most of the time. As I can just picture Jesus walking down the road as He sees a farmer sowing seed. And Jesus would gather the people up that would follow Him, those even in the outskirts that maybe, what's the deal with this guy? As He would gather them around, He would say this, "Let me tell you a story." Now, why did He do that? It's because we are living in an epic story, and story is the language of our heart. I've been to Peru. That's one of the places that I've been able to go and serve on mission. And one of the things they taught us about the Peruvian culture is that no matter who you stop and talk to, in their culture, story matters. And so when you would speak to them, if you wanted to tell them about your relationship with Christ, you could simply say, "Can I tell you a story?" No matter where they were at, no matter what they were doing, no matter how busy their life was in that moment, they would stop and they would listen because they value story. But that's not the only people that value story. We all value story. In fact, if you want to know the truth, think about the last time you maybe talked with a friend that you haven't talked to in a while. What's the first thing you do? What's up? Tell me what's going on. What's happening? Right? You ask them, and basically what you're asking is, tell me a story. Tell me your story. Tell me what is going on in your life. You see, stories speak to our hearts because God created us that way, because you are living in an epic story. It warms my heart to hear people say, "Gary, I know your story. I value your story." One other dude said, "Gary, you're my hero," right? You're one of my heroes. One of them said, "Dude, you're part of the team. You're part of this team. We love you. We're praying for you." That is an awesome thing. And it all speaks to the great story that you have been living and continue to live. And so when we continue into this idea of Jesus making all things new, our story will be in completion. But as of now, we are still in the middle of our stories, and your story and my story is important. I want to recap from last week in our time in the Word. God just would not let me leave from this passage, and I think it ties in so fittingly this morning. I want to read with you, in case you weren't here this last week, I want to read our passage from last week in Mark chapter 5. Read the first 20 verses, and as we do this, I just want to talk to you a little more about stories and why they're so important. In Mark chapter 5, it says, "They came to the other side of the sea." If you were here last week, I said, remember this 64 square mile Sea of Galilee that Jesus took intention to go to the other side of the sea. No matter what part he was at, he went to the other side, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. We said this last week, that means that there were people close enough to minister to him, close enough to serve him, close enough to love him, but what they decided to do was put chains and leave him out there left for dead in the tombs, and we'll find in later in the story, close to the pigs, two very unclean things for the Jew. They left him in the middle of nowhere to deal with his pain and suffering all by himself, other than the evil spirits that tormented him. It says, night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out, cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him, and crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God not to torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out, entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. Herdsmen fled, told the city and the country all they had heard and seen. And the people came to see what had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs, and they began to beg Jesus, "Depart from this region." I mean, this story still amazes me. It's one I've read many times, but as I think about it, and I think about this just dramatic scene unfolding, this man who is sitting among the tombs with not a stitch of clothing on, out of his right mind, not anywhere, just in a sane moment of thought, something living inside of him, many unclean spirits living inside of him, him yelling and screaming, a scary noise. Many people were scared of this, right? They so scared of how he was acting that they bound him with chains. But Jesus hears beyond the screams of fear and terror, and he hears it as a cry of desperation. And he goes to the man and he heals him. He cleanses him of all of these spirits. And then the people come by and they see him sitting clothed, bandaged up in his right mind. He's been healed. And they've heard the story of the pigs dropping off into the sea, right? That's crazy, right? That we would even see 2,000 pigs going off this cliff and falling into the sea and being drowned and all of this that has happened. And so the people that come, they say, this is too scary for me. This is a little too close to home. This is a little too real. This dude's sitting here and he's clothed and in his right mind. And we heard what you did to the pigs. You need to get out of here. And so they send Jesus away, right? And by the way, maybe that's you today. Maybe there is something that speaks to you over this video, your brother Country's story, something you've seen out here today, something you've heard. Better yet, something that the Holy Spirit is whispering. And your first reaction is to say, Jesus, go on with that. I don't need any of that. In fact, that's going to mess up kind of where I'm heading in my life. I don't want any part of that. Would you get in your boat and go on back to that other side of the sea? One, I would encourage you, if that's you, if that's what you're dealing with on the inside, I feel led to say that this morning. If that is you, I'm begging, would you just fall at your knees, maybe at Jesus' feet this morning and say, here I am. No more running. I'm here. Do what you want to do with me. So we see this in this story, but here is where I point out to the idea that every story matters. Listen to me this morning. I want everybody to look this way. Look up here at this bald guy. I want you to hear me this morning. Everyone's story matters. Not just Gary's. Not just mine. Not just everybody that's got everything spit shined and polished and sitting in a church pew today with a suit and tie. Their story is no more important than your story. You say, Keith, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know that I took the needle out of my arm just this morning. You don't know that the bottle is so empty, way more empty than it should have been from last night. You don't know what I've done in my past. You don't know what I'm thinking about doing today. You don't know what I'm going to do when I leave here. Can I tell you this just beautiful idea of the gospel? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's not about anything that you do. It's about the man that gets in the boat and comes all the way to the other side, not just to a sea, but out of heaven's glory and comes to this place called earth that he spoke into existence to redeem it for all eternity. He says your story matters. Each and every detail, no matter what you've done, no matter how bad we've tried to paint at the canvas of our life and fill it with just all kind of ugly paint, he looks at it and says, just like we would with a child as they're young, and they bring us back this picture that's colored all outside the lines. But as a parent, we put it on the refrigerator. That's my child. That's their masterpiece. That's their drawing, knowing good and well that it looks terrible to probably anybody else. But to us, it's precious. How is it any different if a sinful man like me can put my child's ugly picture up on the refrigerator when they were 3 years old and couldn't color inside the lines, and I saw that as beautiful? How can a sinful man like me get that compared to our Heavenly Father that says beautiful? In fact, not only beautiful, but paid in full. Every little place where you've colored outside the lines, and let's be honest, can we be honest this morning? Some of us live outside the lines. We color way outside the lines. We mix the color so much. You ever seen that Crayola color that's just every color mixed together and it's just like this putrid puke color, right? Some of us color in that color, everything that we do, and it's so out far outside the lines. Can I be honest with you this morning? Anybody remember Billy Graham? Your story matters just as much as him, and Jesus loves Billy Graham no differently than he loves our outside the lines, just crooked up, jagged mess. Your story matters just the same, paid for in full, just the same. And your story matters from this point forward. Today, if you were to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, if you've already given your heart and life to Jesus Christ, let me tell you why I believe stories matter. This man's story mattered. And can I tell you this? This place, if you want to picture the church at Southside like a big old table, man, I picture it like in the Kingdom movies, right, where you see the knights sitting at the table. You see the big table up front? Everybody has a seat at the front table here. There is no special treatment. There is no different seat. You're not just barely scraping in at the back. It's one long table. And everybody has a seat. Everyone has a seat at the table. Every story matters, and here's what I promise you. Listen to me. Everybody look this way. Every story is safe here. You can share your story. Every story is safe. I don't care what you come and tell me. The answer will be Jesus loves you, He died for you, and He is here for you. Doesn't matter what you've done. You can say, but you don't understand the blank. It doesn't matter what the blank is. I don't care what you fill in the blank. Jesus loves you. He cares for you. He died for you. He's here for you. That is the gospel, plain and simple. But when we accept that, when we believe that, when we come into a truth so rich and so deep, and we buy into the idea, I am in part of an epic story. I am vital to this kingdom that's talked about in Scripture. Jesus is my Lord. He is my King. Then what do we do with our story? If stories are so important, then what do we do with our story? Verse 18 says this, Jesus was asked to leave, go to the other part of the sea again. And it says he was getting into the boat. The man who had been possessed with the demons begged him that he might be with him. Anyone ever begged God for something that he didn't come through on? I know that's getting real this morning, but can I ask that again? Anyone ever begged God for something and it seems like he's not coming through on that? You know he knows best. I know we don't like to hear that, but he knows best. And so as we beg, this man begs, can you picture? And by the way, this was a holy request. He's saying, you've changed my life forever. You have healed me. You have set me free. Please, Jesus. Listen, I don't know about you, but a begging is not just, hey, Jesus, can I go with you? No, son, you can't. Okay, have a nice trip. It says he begged him. I believe that he was on the ground. I believe that he was grabbing at Jesus' cloak. I believe there was passionate tears in his eyes. I believe there was just this groaning inside of him, probably where other humans couldn't understand. Jesus understood. He knew him. He had created him. He spoke him into existence. He had healed him. He had set him free. And after hearing this begging, I can just picture just a sweet just rejection. No, you can't. No, you can't. He gave him a little bit more of the picture and told him why, but there was this begging. He says he begged him that he might just be with him. By the way, here's what he was saying. I don't even need to know where the boat's going. I just want in the boat. I just want to go. I want to be with you. I want to be beside you. I want to be just with you, Jesus. You have changed everything. By the way, if your story's never been introduced to Jesus Christ changes everything. Everything. Listen to me. Here's what I didn't say. I didn't say the church at Southside changes everything. I didn't say that your scripture reading plan changes everything. I didn't say a religious prayer. I didn't say getting dressed up and sitting in a pew. None of that changes anything if Jesus hasn't changed everything. Jesus changes everything. And as he's sitting there and the man is begging that he might just be with Jesus, because he gets this just in the few moments. He gets this that Jesus changes everything. Jesus says this. He did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you. In other words, Jesus is telling, listen to me. I understand. And I believe there was even a longing in Jesus to say, yeah, come on and go with me. But he couldn't. There was something that needed to be done in that Decapolis region. Those 10 city regions that this man had been left in the tombs, buried for dead, forgotten, bleeding, cut up, and now he's healed. He's clothed. He's speaking in his right mind. And Jesus is saying, no, you can't go with me. Stay here and go everywhere you can and tell them about what the Lord has done for you. How he's had mercy on you. You see, this morning, some of you that are sitting here disqualifying yourself, by the way, I want to speak more truth over that. Some of you that the enemy is sitting here attacking you and saying, whispering that voice that you've somehow mistaken for your own or the Holy Spirit, and you are sitting there listening and saying and disqualifying yourself, I cannot, because I've been under the bridge last night shooting up with something I shouldn't have been shooting up with. Listen to me this morning. That does not disqualify you. Jesus can change everything. And if you give your heart and life to Jesus, it doesn't mean that the needle might not go back in there. And that's okay. He can change it. He can change everything. Bit by bit, he can change things in our lives. Some of us may struggle with addiction or the same temptation or the same sin for the rest of our given days. We may never break free of it, but one day he is making all things new, and that will be gone. And you will dine at his kingdom's table, and you will have a seat not as a hired hand, but as a son or daughter of the King of Kings. I don't care what you've done. Better than that, don't take my word for it. Jesus doesn't care what you've done. He died for it, paid in full. Some of the most beautiful words ever spoken in the history of mankind. It is finished. There is nothing more to add. It is done, paid for in full. This man, he says, can you imagine the shame? Can you imagine going into the town where you're looking at the very people that chained you up and left you for dead? Can you imagine the ones who've seen you naked? Can you imagine the ones that have seen you foaming at the mouth, talking out of your right mind? Can you imagine them hearing the curses from your mouth, and yet you walking into the city clothed and healed and in your right mind, and all you can say is, can I tell you guys what the Lord has done for me? Can I tell you about the mercy he had on me? Can I tell you what the people could not do? They could not ignore the man's story, because it had happened. Now, if the man went and said, can I just offer you a religious prayer? Can I just tell you about the ABCs of salvation? Can I just tell you what the prophet Isaiah said? And getting all spiritual and quoting something, if you'll just memorize this verse, if you'll just come to church with me this week, maybe God speaks through that in that person's life. But let me tell you what they can't ignore. A man that was naked, left for dead, bleeding, screaming, foaming at the mouth, out of his mind, is standing in front of them, clothed, healed, sane, and just says, Jesus changed everything. He'll change it for you. You know what? You can walk off at that point with your head held high, because that's all we need to say. But here's where it gets real, real. Do you believe your story matters that much? Because I just want to tell you the God's honest gospel truth this morning. If you have lived a life that is painted so clear within the lines, I mean, you're just barely outside of it, and you've been in church your whole life, and you never have a drug addicted story, you never had a sexual temptation, you've never murdered anyone, even with your thoughts, all of this stuff that you have done so well inside the lines, your story still matters if Jesus changed everything. If Jesus introduced himself into that story and you really know the person of Jesus, you don't have to have this story of, man, I was tied up by the tombs. I was left for dead. I got cancer. I got addiction. I live under a bridge. I don't have a home. You don't have to have that kind of story. The story is well enough to say, I tried my best in religion. I tried my best to live right, but Jesus changes everything. And if you got one of those other stories to say, standing before them, hey, I'm no longer putting that needle in my arm. It's been 3 months. Jesus changes everything. Who can argue with a story? I want to challenge you this morning that you have an amazing story if you know him. If not, you've been invited into one, no matter what you've said, no matter what you've done, no matter what you haven't done. You have been invited into an epic story through Jesus Christ. It's available. Simply today, it's available. One good word to start with, if you don't believe me, is just to say the word Father. Father, if what that guy's saying is true, would you just speak that to me? Would you speak that to my heart today? If that's you, if you'd have the boldness to pray that, I believe he'll speak today. In some way or another, maybe he already has, I believe he'll speak. Would you just say that, Father, speak to me. If that's true, speak to me. I need to hear from you. You've been invited into an epic story. I'm going to ask Jesse to come. As he comes, I'm going to pray, and he's going to close us in a time of worship. I'm going to be available if anybody needs to say anything, something God has said to you this morning. I want somebody to pray with you. Just say, man, I want to introduce him into my story. I want Jesus to change everything in my life. If that's you, I'll be right over here. Would love to talk with you. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you. Not only for Gary's story this morning, we thank you for all our stories. We thank you for the ones of us that can truly say, you, Jesus, have been introduced into my story. You, Jesus, have changed everything about my story. Father, if we can't say that, I pray that we would start just where I just said. Father, Father, please show me you're real. Please show me that you want to be in my story. Please show me that it's true what Keith is saying, that it doesn't matter what I've done, what I'm doing, or what I will do, that you will come into my story. You will change everything. Father, you will. I trust you in that. I trust you that if someone is bold enough to pray today, Father, speak to me, that you'll speak. Father, this is your time. We love you. We thank you for the story of Jesus. We thank you for our stories. And we thank you that those of us that are here, we have blood running through our veins. There is still a breath in our lungs, and our story is not finished. No matter where we're at in life, our story is not finished. Jesus, you're still changing everything. Help us to live out that story, telling just like this man, everywhere we go, telling about the mercy and the compassion and the grace that Jesus has had in our life. We give you the honor and glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.